Are you unsure about what career you want to go into? Well, What's Your 9-to-5 podcast can help.
Our new podcast highlights career opportunities for youth and other interesting job positions in the Grey Bruce area.
Hosted by Chris Hoekstra and Brooklyn Dursum, tune in every Wednesday for the newest episode. We interview tons of interesting people and youth.
Recently, we have spoken to some really amazing people, including Dr. Ara, the Grey Bruce Medical Officer of Health, and the Executive Director of Blue Water School Board.
Tune in to listen on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.
Welcome to the Pilot Podcast,
where we watch the pilot episodes of TV shows to answer your question, should I watch this?
My name is BJ.
And my name is Me Too.
And this week, we're checking out The Undoing on HBO, The Hardy Boys on Hulu, The Astronauts on Nickelodeon, and The Flight Attendant on HBO Max.
So stay tuned to the end to find out BJ's scariest flight stories.
I had a really stressful flight on, I think, Air Canada with a very rude flight attendant who gave me a customs form and was not very helpful.
I'm sorry about that, Beach.
It's okay. I was leaving the U.S. going to Canada, so I had nothing to declare. It was just some confusion. I survived. Spoiler.
You are living to tell the tale. This is quite a spoiler. Let's get into The Undoing on HBO. We meet Grace, played by Nicole Kidman, who is a successful psychotherapist, and she also comes from wealth. We meet her father, Franklin, played by Donald Sutherland, who seems to be financing her and her husband's lifestyle and their son's attendance at the prestigious Reardon School. That is where she meets and befriends Elena, played by Matilda De Angelis, one of the moms at Reardon School, who is helping them prepare for one of their fundraisers, because rich schools just always need a fundraiser. As a David E. Kelly show tends to do, The Undoing turns into a deadly game of whodunit, and Grace is developing reason to suspect that her husband, oncologist Jonathan, played by Hugh Grant, may have something to do with the tale. So now we're following to see if Grace figures it all out.
I'm actually really excited that we are covering this show this week. We actually talked about it last week with our new friends Jeff and Kevin from The Pick Podcast. Definitely check out episode 19 of The Pick Cast. Go to thepickcast.com, where we did kind of a light overview, but now we can really dive in deeper and discuss some of these characters.
Yes, so let's talk about the Reardon moms, because that is where a lot of my suspicion lies. And I think because David E. Kelly shows like Big Little Lies, like Big Sky, like this with The Undoing, settle into these great conflicts of relationships between complicated women.
Yeah, and we really see what type of women and parents we're going to be dealing with when Grace attends a fundraising event planning meeting. And we see Sylvia there, there's another mom, Grace, and Jolene, and then Elena. And it's really these kind of old school versus new school type of dynamic. There's a clique that Grace is a part of and Elena is not a part of, but Grace is this very nice person who wants to make her feel welcome. But these other moms, they don't care.
Let me tell you who did not care about making her feel welcome. Sylvie, played by Lily Robb, who played Sylvie so well. Such a good, pretentious, wealthy mom who is pretending to care.
Very much pretending, and then ready to gossip whenever she gets a chance.
Also, shout out to West Wing Hive. Janelle Maloney is in this as well, playing one of the moms named Sally. Let's get into Grace and Elena, this odd relationship that they're building, maybe even a bond, a slightly codependent situation budding.
It's uncomfortable. Elena is not uncomfortable when it comes to making prolonged eye contact with people, especially Grace, even across the room. And I think what makes this so mysterious but intriguing is that Grace is clearly just trying to be nice to this new mom who's kind of entered the school social circle. And Elena is doing things that you typically wouldn't do with someone you've just met, like stand naked in front of them and have a casual conversation.
Well, they were in a gym. And if you've been in a gym locker room, then you've been accosted by someone very comfortable in their own bodies and just chatting away with you.
That close?
Maybe not that close, but I've definitely seen it happen where people have conversations in the gym. One of them is not clothed. One of them is. People get very relaxed in the locker room.
How about at someone's dining room table when you presumably just met them?
Oh, yes. So at one point during the mom meeting for the fundraiser, Elena starts breastfeeding. I didn't think that was odd.
I think she could have tried to cover herself more because it was very much, we're just having a conversation. I'm taking off my shirt at the table.
I didn't care. I didn't bump on that, to borrow a work term. I was in Grace's camp where she said that it was just a mom being a mom in a room of moms.
What do you feel about their connection? Because we also see Grace being supportive.
So she tries to help Elena out a lot. I think she's feeling a little bit of guilt being as wealthy as she is. Her son at the school, Henry, played by Noah Jupe, clearly has a different relationship with his environment than Miguel, Elena's son, played by Aiden Alexander. It's just a different experience when you're a rich kid who comes from money, whose grandpa clearly runs that town. And so I think that she is feeling some guilt about that, and that's why she's being so good to Elena. But there are a couple moments where they are almost romantic with each other that I also bumped on, that I was like, interesting. Okay, maybe something is brewing here. We also see that Grace is a therapist who isn't scared to tell her patients what's good about their relationships with themselves, with each other. We see that she's a little bit confrontational, just sharing what she sees happening.
That's why she gets paid the big bucks.
But we don't see her do that with her husband, Jonathan, even though that is who I would be observing more closely if I were you, sis. And we also see her do it a little bit with Elena, but not a lot. Just sort of excusing Elena's behavior as it gets stranger and stranger.
Yeah, I'm sure that puts Grace in an awkward position where she doesn't want to fall into the therapist role with people that she has a friendly or familial bond with. Or even romantic bond. She probably wants to set harder boundaries with those people. But I'm sure in her mind, she's like breaking down all of Elena's actions and what that could mean.
She did a little bit to Jonathan. She was telling him that when Elena breastfed at the table, that was her telling the moms, I'm a real mom versus you wealthy moms. And she said that when Elena was nude in the locker room talking to her, she took it almost like peacocking. I wonder what else, to your point, Beej, she's analyzing in her head that she's not saying out loud. Which leads me to the question, do you think Grace will figure it out? Where do you see this story going?
So we do have a murder to figure out. I think Grace will be the one to figure it out, only because she's our main character and we're following her through this story. And she seems very keen to pick up on those small details that are going to be important. So I think we're going to piece it together as she pieces it together. What do you think?
I think we're being set up to piece it together as she pieces it together as well. We maybe have a little additional information to her, but there are so many close-up shots of Nicole Kidman's eyes just darting around a room as she's trying to figure out what's going on. A lot of close-up shots of her hands, dialing phones, things like that. So when BJ says we're going to figure it out along with her, I think we're literally going to figure it out along with her, like following her eyes, her hands, her senses. You know, where are the clues leading this grown-up Junie B. Jones?
Okay, so she might even be 5 seconds ahead telling us where to look.
Like, she might dart her eyes one way, and then we go, oh, what's over there?
That's actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
Are you going to keep watching? How do you feel about The Undoing on HBO?
So The Undoing's finale, which just came out last week, drew the biggest HBO audience since the season 2 finale of Big Little Lies. It's a big cultural moment. So I think for that alone, I want to watch more episodes of this show. I want to know who done it. I have bought into the mystery. I don't know if this is some sort of prestige show, but it's fun and juicy, just like Big Little Lies was.
Yeah, I really feel you on that. And like we discussed on the PitCast, this is a mini series, which is kind of the new hot way to format your shows. So with only 6 episodes, I think it's worth committing the time seriously to wrap up this mystery.
Agreed. Now, Beej, we have another mystery. This time, instead of a grown woman solving it, we're relying on 2 kids.
I mean, I feel like that's the classic. Why rely on educated, trained adults when you can just have two kids with a little spunk and a little motivation, then they can solve everything. That's what we see on The Hardy Boys. So as you can guess, this is a new crime mystery TV series on Hulu based on The Hardy Boys books. So these are the crime-solving detective brothers. We have Frank Hardy, played by Rowan Campbell, and his younger brother, Joe Hardy, played by Alexander Elliott, and they have a mystery that they have to solve. Someone has died, and it's possible that this was a murder, and they want to investigate and get some answers, get some closure, and just see what is going on. Along the way, they have their father, Fenton Hardy, played by James Tupper, who takes his boys to a new town, Bridgeport, where they're actually now closer to their Aunt Trudy, played by B. Santos, and their grandmother, Gloria Esterbrook, played by Linda Thorson. And so not only are they trying to solve a murder, but they're also making new friends, reconnecting with their mother's side of the family, and getting into some dicey situations. What did you think of this real-world take on a teen mystery series versus some of the other shows we've seen, like Riverdale or The New Nancy Drew?
That is what's fun about this one, that there is some mysticism in the artifact that was found on the fishing boat that blew up mysteriously near town. But aside from that, I guess potentially mysticism influenced artifact, we're in real world mystery solving where we're just tracking who done it. Who are the people? Who are the suspects? Who do we follow? How do we follow a trail of cash or whatever it is? That sets it apart from Riverdale or Nancy Drew or Chilling Adventures of Sabrina or Stranger Things that all deal with more of supernatural elements and sci-fi and Stranger Things even just going full horror. So it is fun to see just two boys in the 80s. They have bikes. One of them is really good at throwing things and baseball. The other one seems to be the brains behind the operation, the younger one, Joe. And they're just gonna put that good old American ingenuity to work and figure out who did it.
That's all you need. I think Joe can pick locks. So with that, that's already going to open so many doors.
That's true. When they met their new friends and told them that their dad was a cop, they were like, what cool skills do you know? And Frank was like, oh, well, my dad taught me how to dust for prints. And everyone was like, oh, that's nice. And then Joe was like, I know how to pick locks. And then people were like, ooh, I want to learn how to do that. So Joe just brings a little more to the table, it seems.
Let's talk about that. How do you feel about the dynamic between Frank and Joe? Frank is the older brother, and we see a lot more emphasis and attention placed on him this episode by not only his family, but the characters around him. But I think Joe also has a lot of potential for this story.
Again, Joe seems to be the brains here. Frank might bring a little bit more muscle. In the show, they have a greater age difference between them. So in the books, in the earlier run, Frank was 16 and Joe was 15. And then in the newer run, Frank is 18 and Joe is 17. But on this show, they're 4 years apart, with Frank being a teenager and Joe being 12.
Yeah, high school and middle school. That's quite a difference.
So that makes for more of an interesting gap between them, I think, because they're going to have different experiences adjusting to this town, for sure.
And I imagine that's going to play into their friends, where they will have pretty distinct friend groups.
And we've already met Callie, played by Keanu Lynn, who, according to the books, should be Frank's, I think, sometimes girlfriend, and then in some of the earlier books, more like platonic friend.
I can see it going either way.
Yeah, I like it. And then Joe, actually, in the books, develops a similar relationship where sometimes she's his girlfriend, sometimes she's his friend, with Chet's little sister, Chet being the person who, in the show right now, is Callie's boyfriend.
What did you think of the kind of family dynamics we see between the dad and his sister Trudy and then their grandmother Gloria?
Okay, that got real messy because they are grieving. So the premise of the show is this family has experienced an unimaginable loss. So the dad takes the boys to live with his family where he and their mom grew up in Bridgeport. They're having dinner with the dad and his sister, and their mom's mom busts into the house, and Trudy turns to Fenton and goes, ugh, we didn't lock the doors. And that just goes to show how much they must dislike their mom's mom because they should be sticking together as a family unit. So it was a very telling scene.
Yeah, and I think this might even start to leak into our predictions, but we see that Gloria and the Esterbrook family are very influential in Bridgeport. The grandmother throws a backyard barbecue that seems to have the entire town of Bridgeport there to meet her grandsons, and she mentions her family history. So I think there is some tension between the snooty mother side of the family and the more kind of down-to-earth, hardy side of the family.
When Frank goes to pick up ice cream for the family, ice cream and peaches, the person who works the ice cream store was like, oh, you're the hardy boy, aka the grandson of the woman that runs this entire town. He was like, do you want a job? Do you want my job? Do you want to own this place? I actually have the keys in the back. Like, he just truly bent over backwards for this 16-year-old.
Must be nice.
It must be. We see toward the end of the episode that they're starting to put some clues together. Do you want to keep watching to see if they're able to solve this overarching mystery?
I do. I think this is a series I'm going to watch casually. I really enjoyed the new Nancy Drew on the CW, and I'm getting very similar vibes with the Hardy Boys. Those two franchises have always been closely linked to each other, and I think they're going to do it again. So I'm going to check out the Hardy Boys and see what Frank and Joe can figure out. How do you feel?
I agree. So the characters, the Hardy Boys, were created by Edward Stratemeyer in 1926, and then he actually created Nancy Drew later because of the success of the Hardy Boys, so that young girls would also have a character to look up to. I mean, I think it was more about selling books, but we can go with that narrative too. And yes, I want to watch more episodes of the Hardy Boys. I read some of the books. I don't remember reading them as much as I did Nancy Drew. You know, I'm firmly a member of Nancy Drew Hive. But this was a really fun pilot, and I was surprised by how much I liked it because I thought it would be for people much younger than I am. And I think it is, but I still like it, and I'm still going to keep watching because I want to know what happens. So I will join you in watching casually.
How about we head from Bridgeport to space?
But I still want it to be the onus on kids to figure out what's going on.
Of course, we're not going to rely on adults to solve the problems.
Okay, good.
That's what we see on The Astronauts on Nickelodeon.
This show.
This show is a new action-adventure series, and the whole premise is that these five children, middle school-age children, sneak onto a spaceship, and when they get onto the spaceship, there's an artificial intelligence system called Matilda, so think Alexa, Siri, and it activates the launch sequence. So now, these five children are in space, conducting a space mission. Now everyone, from the kids to the kids' parents to the crew, have to figure out, how do we get these children back to Earth? And so our five kids who are, I think, well-prepared for this mission, given the circumstances.
Given the circumstances.
So we have Sammy, the leader of the crew, played by Mia Ketch. She's actually the daughter of the mission commander. We have Elliot, played by Bryce Gazar. He's the son of the man who's actually running Helios, the company that's funding and building this mission. And then siblings, Martin and Doria Taylor, played by Keith Williams and Caden Swan, who their father, also related to the mission, is working in mission control. And then finally, Will Rivers, he's kind of the most out of the loop. He's played by Ben Dayan, and his mother is actually a major reporter. Shout out to his mother, Connie Rivers, played by Erica Serra. Loved her on Eureka and a bunch of other great shows. And then we have to give credit to Paige Howard, who voices Matilda, who not only is this artificial intelligence system, but runs the spaceship. And without her, the spaceship would just stop operating. Seems like a design flaw to me, but what do I know?
What do I know, except for that one article that we read that Google has been sitting on the fact that Google Translate created its own language and could translate in and out of it.
Surprises. They're okay. So, me too. How about we kind of look a little into what it means to have children as astronauts? What do you think of this group of five kids? Do you think that they can handle this? Do you think that they can manage to learn how to run a spaceship and get back home safely?
You're the PhD. How many years of astronaut camp and school do you have to go to get all the degrees you need to go in space?
Well, that's funny because out of the two of us, I'm the one who didn't go to space camp.
Okay. It was a school trip to space camp.
Did you enjoy it?
I did.
Anyway.
Those kids had no adjustment. They just immediately figured it out.
Maybe they've been in weightless situations before. We don't know their backstory. All we really know is that Sammy has done some training with her mother's software since she was 5 years old, so she knows how to run the whole ship.
That's the thing. They intentionally made the kids the children of the captain, the children of the guy funding the whole thing, so maybe he's familiar with the tech. They made it so, in theory, they could have soaked up knowledge from around their parents. My father is an engineer. I cannot engineer.
Hey, give yourself a little credit.
I don't think there was ever a take your baby to work day that I could sit down and be like, hey, throw away the calculator. You got me now. Run the numbers again. There's no hidden figures hidden inside me. And so it just... You know, I am very good at mental math, actually. I think I'm better than you and my partner. I like quick math.
Yeah, but then if we start to add some...
No.
More complicated formulas.
No. But the tip at a restaurant, I could do it faster than anyone. In any case, I think that's why they purposely position the kids like that, so that they have something to offer, so that you sort of get around the big plot hole of sending children to space. With that said, when you look past that, which is quite a thing to look past, it was such a delightful show, and it's a Brian Grazer, Ron Howard project. So it's just this high budget for Nickelodeon prestige project where we see Apollo 13, but with kids, and hopefully no one dies.
Hopefully. I feel like this type of series, they will get back home safely. It's just a matter of how long are they going to stretch out this space mission. But we do know that there is trouble for the kids. It's not easy breezy spaceship time. They have to deal with Matilda, who is having some issues. We've learned from mission control that Matilda may have been compromised. And this is affecting the spaceship that the children are on because parts of it are malfunctioning or not operating properly. So now we have to see, can they, one, trust Matilda, and two, keep this spaceship operating so they can stay alive?
So do you want to tune into more episodes to see if they can do that?
You know, I never thought I would go back to watching Nickelodeon shows, but I could see myself watching this while maybe cooking or doing laundry. How do you feel?
I agree. I was very surprised by how much I enjoyed the show. I did laugh at some points. There's a scene where they're about to take off. They realize there's 4 seats, but 5 of them. And Martin just grabs his little sister and just holds her real tight in his lap for takeoff. And that's how all 5 of them survived. So there are still some very Nickelodeon moments, but I am interested to see what happens next. They just did a great job acting and producing this one. I just liked it.
Yeah, and maybe it'll even inspire some kids to pursue STEM careers. I guess now it's time for some more flying, but this time a little closer to Earth.
So I think that you're talking about The Flight Attendant on HBO Max, starring Kaley Cuoco as Casey Bowden. She is a flight attendant who parties maybe a little bit too much, and on a particularly wild flight, she meets Alex, played by Mikael Huseman, who is a passenger that she decides to break the rules for when they land in Bangkok. And after a night together, we see her waking up next to his dead, very bloody body, and we see her navigate the aftermath from that hazy night that she can't remember.
Wow. I think you described it best when we were talking about this show right after we watched it. She's really in the worst position possible when it comes to Alex's murder.
It's almost perfectly chaotic. She has a substance use issue, so she can't remember what happened with her and Alex because she drank too much, so it's hazy. She is untrustworthy with her colleagues because of this issue. She doesn't develop a lot of close relationships with people, so she doesn't have people that she can necessarily rely on. This happens in Bangkok. She doesn't have people in Bangkok.
And you don't want to get arrested in Bangkok.
That's what we learn from her friend, who is an attorney, potentially for some shady characters, Annie, played by Zoja Mamet, who we usually see play like a flighty character, like on Girls and other shows. So it's nice to see her be kind of a boss on this one.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be a lot of exciting stuff with Annie in the future episodes. We're not going to spoil that, but keep an eye on her. But getting back to Casey, she just is not helping herself.
No.
I get panicking and not wanting to call 911 because she would be brought in even if she didn't do it. And we don't know if she did it.
Does she even know what 911 is in Bangkok?
Fair enough. So that's problem number one. Who would you even call if she wanted to call?
Ain't no Ghostbusters.
But me too. I think we're both reasonable people who would, one, never end up in this situation. But if we had to advise someone in this situation, we would tell them, don't try and clean up the crime scene. That makes you look suspicious.
Yes, she clearly acted from a place of panic. She tried to shower, clean up the crime scene. She got rid of the evidence that could potentially help her. But I also understand her instinct because she called Annie and tried to just bring up casual conversation. What happened to Amanda Knox? Did she call the cops? What was going on with her? And so Annie told her that you don't want to get in trouble in Bangkok. And she took that advice to heart. And she was like, nobody's going to get in trouble in Bangkok. And she cleaned and cleaned and cleaned to try to ensure that was the case.
Just a side note of something I just want to bring up. She makes a lot of international phone calls.
Yes, her bill must be high. But I also bet that if you're a flight attendant, you must have some sort of data plan to accommodate.
You brought up two good points. The first one, that she's panicking. We even see her have a panic attack later in this first episode.
Yes.
And also, she doesn't have the strongest relationships with a lot of people. And so it brings up the question, who can she trust? When her coworkers find out that Alex was murdered, because it's a major headline, they recognize him and they all remember that Casey was flirting with this guy. And since they don't have that strong relationship to be like, Casey would never, they're like, Casey, didn't you see him last?
The one colleague who seems to try to be protecting her a little bit is Megan, played by the icon Rosie Perez, because it seems like she is living through Cassie a little bit. She wants to see herself as this young party girl as well.
Supportive big sister type character.
Yes, but she can't trust anyone else because the other attendants, one is super gossipy, one is kind of a frenemy. So she really needs to keep it close to the vest. I mean, I guess anyone would if you wake up next to a body.
Instagram story. Do you see this, everyone?
Talk about a case of the Mondays.
Someone had a bad night.
Waking up on the wrong side of the bed, am I right?
Speaking of that bed, we do see Casey going back to it, but in her mind. Mm-hmm. So this was something I wasn't expecting, that she kind of maybe dissociates, hallucinates, where she's talking to Alex's dead body. It's kind of her way of her conscious dealing with this stress, but also processing her memories. What'd you think about those scenes?
She seems to be processing memories, yes, and then also uncovering clues along the way of what happened that night, because she blacked out after their dinner, and we see her have a couple big reveals accessing the recesses of her mind through these imagined conversations with Alex, who also, interestingly enough, is in various states of bleeding or not bleeding. So she's also sort of making him whole in order to have these conversations with him in her mind. And I also want to say, Kaylee Cuoco is acting. So she's an executive producer on this project. We all know that she was one of the highest paid actors ever because of her time on Big Bang Theory, but she is really serving in this role as well.
She chose well taking on this project. And I guess I have one last question I want to stick in there before we get to our final ratings.
Okay.
What do you think's going on with her brother? We see her calling him a couple times through the episode, and she has two nieces. I'm wondering how bringing in her family is going to add to the stress.
I want to see more of Davey. So he's played by T.R. Knight, and he seems to be one of the few grounding forces in her life. She doesn't let people in, but he's her brother, and he's one of the few people I think she feels she can trust on some level. And he's planning a big family trip, and she is so scared to tell him about what's going on that she is while dealing with this dead body and the fears that she has around it, she is like, oh yeah, spring for the good trip. Okay, sure. Like, he's like talking to her about logistics of the trip and she's having to plan it on the phone with him. So that's just going to be a fascinating dynamic once the secret is out. If it gets out that this is what she's dealing with, I wonder how that will shift.
There's a lot more. And we didn't even get into the FBI agent investigating.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much more to uncover. And the question is, me too, do you want to continue uncovering memories with Casey on The Flight Attendant on HBO Max?
Let me preface this by saying, some weeks we have rough weeks where all four shows we don't really want to watch many more episodes of. They're not for us. This week was special. Each of these shows was so good, but I would say The Flight Attendant was a standout. I wasn't initially interested in it, but now that I know it's this fascinating murder mystery and Rosie Perez is in it, I am going to watch again. Seriously, I would recommend to any of our listeners who have a Undoing or Big Little Lies sized hole in their hearts and they're waiting for the next fun mystery show with a complicated lead character, this is it. I plan to, as soon as you and I sign off, watch more episodes of this show.
I have to agree. I would also watch again, seriously. I think I had higher expectations or higher hopes in this series than you did before we watched. It exceeded those. It's even more of a fun thrill ride than I could have expected. And I'm ready to keep watching. I think one of the cool things that some of these streaming platforms are starting to do, like HBO Max or Disney Plus, is the weekly format like you would get on network TV. And I think this thriller in particular is something I don't want to rush through. So I like that they're going to pace out this mystery. So if you want to find out other recommendations, because this week was really great and we've seen other great shows, head to our website at thepilotpodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at The Pilot Pod, and please send thoughts, feelings, shows you recommend us to review, and your Flight Attendant and Hardy Boy and Undoing theories to askthepilotpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.